We're still in James. James chapter 5. We ended up in verse 3, so verse 4, chapter 5. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept, that doesn't make riches, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabaoth. Now, this obviously isn't only about farmers. It's about anyone who has people working for them. And so, behold, the hire of the laborers will reap down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabaoth. Now, Sabaoth is a word that's strange. I used to think it meant Sabbath, and then I finally looked it up. It means Lord of everything. But the idea is, if you have people working for you and you don't pay them what they are worth, then that enters into the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. Anyway, you have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned the just, and you have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Now, let's go to Matthew 5:12. Well, let's look at one more first. No, let's look at Matthew 5. No, never mind. Don't stay there. We'll go to Matthew a little bit later. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Now, the early rain and the latter rain. We spent much time studying this back when we were doing a three-year cycle and before. Does anybody remember what the early rain is?
The clarity, pure veil.
That's the latter rain.
Well, then the teacher of righteousness.
Right.
Okay.
So, until he received the early and the latter rain. The latter rain is when the teaching of the righteous one, which is the Bible, has the clarity of a perfectly cast bell. That you see what you see, and you know that you know it. And so the early rain was teacher of righteousness. In the latter rain, seeing him with the clarity of a perfectly cast bell. Everybody understand that?
That's interesting. It's called precious fruit of the earth. That's who Christ is.
That's the bride. All right. Be you also patient. Establish your hearts, or strengthen your hearts. for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Let's go to Matthew 5. We're going to study that couple of verses there. Matthew 5. Verse 11, starting with verse 11. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Now, the only way that happens is when you let everybody in your life know what you believe. Again, as we've said so many times, it's a guarantee that men will hate you because you're a threat to every form of thought on the face of the earth. Because the form of thought is the evil one. Amen? I got one or two amens. How about the rest of you? All right. Go to Acts 7. This is the speech that got Stephen killed and stoned. Let's start in let's start in 44. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen when he was in the mount. Which also our fathers that came after brought in with Joshua into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God, and desired to find a tabernacle for God, the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house, albeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. As saith the prophets, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath he not made all things, these things? Now, this had to be just destroyed. I mean, the Sanhedrin, they had to be gnashing their teeth because this they were they were convinced that the temple was the house of God. But it was a shadow of the house of God. It was what Moses had seen . But in itself, what he saw was a parable. Now, why didn't he speak plainly? Well, he did. But our hearts don't understand plainness. The veil is still over us if we don't understand perfectly. Anyway, that's not what we're studying. 51. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom you have been the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. And that's when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. This is again, we're reading this because it says, take my brethren the prophets to see how you should live. But let's look at one really strange verse. Let's see if we can. Verse 52 again. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom you have been now the betrayers and the murderers. Now, let's go back and see something that we just read in James 5. Chapter 5, verse 5. You have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the Just One, is what it says, and he doth not resist you. This is one of the main scriptures that, to me, proves that he will never violate. He will only enter where you have emptied. So if you're there, he's gone. And spiritually, you have killed the Just One. If you haven't killed him yet, you've put him in prison. Because what we want from God is we want to achieve and reach the perfection of sanctification. But we want to do it on our terms. But how often have we condemned and killed the Just One? As many times, probably, as there are kernels of sand in the sea. Most of the time we don't kill him, we just put him in prison in the lowest parts of our temple. Gary, yesterday you said something that I used to say very often. I still say it often. And if I ever tell you what to do, you should kill me. But I had a caveat with it from the beginning. except repentance. Repentance is a thing you do. But you can only do the repentance when you see that you're not living the cross. Then repentance has to be, or we condemn the just one. We put the just one in prison. Anybody hear that?
I don't know if this is true. I'm thinking in what you just talked about. He does not resist you. Someone was preaching one time about what it's like during the slaughter of sheep. And it's like the sheep almost come up and offer their neck.
Yeah, I taught on that many times.
Yeah, it's like that idea just is outstanding, that how perfect the picture is. They don't resist. In fact, they offer.
Yeah, I know. That's why I've said from the beginning also, he does not occupy where you are, because you've put him in prison. And then probably numerous times, and more numerous than we can ever imagine, we've not only put him in prison, we've killed him. Wherever you are, he isn't. To condemn, to see that's what we do, is to condemn and kill the just one, should make us beg for mercy. Amen. All right, once more, let's read, and we're in James now. Back up to verse 10. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Now, we are always taught in church and in Sunday schools and probably from our parents that we must pray in the name of the Lord. And so we pray and then we say in Jesus' name. I don't think that's what it means. The fervent prayer of the righteous one availeth much. But that's when he is praying, because you have let him out of prison. You are now dead, and you see your death as permanent. And then you continue with him in his test, in his temptation. And all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose. Does that sound attractive to anyone? It's a promise. Let's go to John 16. Big John. Well, let's start in verse 15, verse 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you.
Hold on. Word.
We're going a little bit before what I said, 16. We're going to start in chapter 15, verse 18.
I was at 16.
If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. that because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. Now, he's talking about the Jewish nation. The Jewish nation had more consciousness of sin than any other society that has ever existed. And their idea what sin was. They didn't understand, and still don't, that sin is what you are and trespass is what you do. They never, a lot of them saw it. Abraham, Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, they saw that, my God, look at this. You have to take and have the sin offering before you have the trespass offering. They had to just blow their minds when they saw that. Because that it could only mean that sin is what you are. Trespass is what you do. And all that happens because of iniquity. And when they saw that, all hell broke loose. Isaiah was sawn asunder. He was sawn from starting the crotch upwards, according to the Talmud. And he didn't stop preaching until they reached his, the saw reached his voice box. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but it's certainly gives an idea of what all right. Verse 23. But again, because now it says they have no cloak for their sin. You understand? They this is why the baptism of John was so. The Jews had been baptizing for 400 years. They baptized during the days of awe, which we're in right now between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And in those 10, whatever how many days it is, that's when they'd been baptizing. And they were baptizing since the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. But John just threw, he changed everything, John the Baptist, because he caused them to go to the other side of the Jordan River. And we've talked about this many times, but that's, you're not just saying this, you're getting baptized, you know, in a tub somewhere. But it defines, it says, I am not worthy after the flesh to be even looked at by God. That's the baptism of repentance. And there's nothing about me. There's nothing that I do. There's nothing that I think that has any merit. Unless you've brought every thought, you've cast down the high places and brought every thought into the captivity of Jesus. All right, but we're not where we're supposed to be. Verse 23, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which shall proceed from the Father, he shall testify of me. Well, and what it says, he shall testify only of me in the Greek. And you also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. That's what it means to be born again. You've been with him from the beginning of beginnings. You're born from above in the New Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They will put you out of the synagogues or churches. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God holy service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. You will be hated of all men. Back to James. Verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies. And we'll stop there, because the next one is, we'll just read the first verse. But of all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. All right, many thoughts on all this? Any response?
One thing I heard the most today was what you said about Samoa. Because I always thought Sabbath, Samoa, same thing, but that just took it to the ultimate extreme level. The Lord of everything. And it's in that name prayer comes forth. It all ties.
Right, if unless you have killed the just one. Or put him in prison. All right. Mark on James, manana, if the Lord wills. Take it, big guy.